rest of the story. Much of what we've learned about our good Earth came from the government's elaborate experimental projects. But agricultural know-how did not start there. One day an American farmer looked out across his own acres and those of his neighbors, and he said to himself, the tobacco isn't good this year. And last year wasn't as good as the year before. So he figured next year he'd try something else. Maybe he'd try that alfalfa he'd heard they were growing in Europe. The next year he planted alfalfa. The year after that, when he put in some tobacco again, the tobacco was lush and verdant, good quality, and so, though he wasn't sure why, this chap became the first man in the New World to rotate his crops. His neighbor's idea of restoring fertility to the land was just to let the fields go to weeds and then plow the weeds under, and when the soil finally gave out completely, they'd move farther west. But this farmer loved his land. He loved it right where it was, and he intended to stay put, and he figured that it was to the best interests of the farmer not to be a migrant, and to the best interests of the country not to ruin and then abandon the soil. So he sat down with no blueprints, mind you, no agricultural bulletins and no farm journals, just a paper and a pencil and a compass and a ruler, and with those he drew a map of his farm. He divided up his fields and planned experimental rotations for each plot. He tried wheat, the next year buckwheat. Then plowed it under, then wheat again. On this plot, after 3 years, he put the land back in grass and clover. After 7 years of rotation, he planted corn and potatoes. No, that was not the best way to do it. But what I'm saying is that he did something. He did try rotation. If you'd peek in his window of an evening, you'd see this white-haired man, his square spectacles sitting on his large nose, sitting there counting seeds. And then one day, for the first time in America, wheat was planted in drilled rows, and he did it with an invention of his own, a combination plow and seeder, a perforated barrel that trundled along behind the plow. On his farm, meanwhile, he was experimenting with all forms of natural fertilizer and compost. He studied the effects of each on separate plots of wheat and barley and oats. He dragged mud from the bottoms back to the ridgeland from where it had washed, and year after year he fought back against erosion. The soil which he nourished still to this day produces crops, because the science which he explored has been continued ever since. Trees still stand that were planted by his hand. The Squire of Virginia was our first pioneer on this uncharted frontier. Though his name was safely enshrined in history without this further effort, here was a lover of his country and the good earth which nourished it, who was so stubborn that he spent the twilight of his life counting seeds by candlelight. All of the honors which came his way, of all of the titles which adorned his name, of none was he so proud as the wheat spikes which he had added to the family coat of arms. For that, he said he was a farmer, and in his love of the land and his pride of his profession, he raised the dirt farmer to a proper position of esteem among the scientists of the world. The man who devoted so much of his life to this living art, the man who invented the seed drill and pioneered scientific fertilization and crop rotation, the Squire of America who established the first experimental farms at Mount Vernon, history remembers mostly for what he considered the lesser things. For his name was George Washington. And now you know the rest of the story.